I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and when you find that particular passage, will you stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word of God? I may not move from behind this platform tonight, today, okay? And again, I might. I don't know. Let's see what God does. Psalm 18. Let's begin reading this morning in verse number 1. David said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Now that's all we'll read this morning. I'll be using more scripture, but that's all that we'll be using this morning in our text. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. My Father, I thank Thee that You've laid this upon my heart for today. Thank You, Lord, for what You have spoken in the secret chambers of my heart. And Lord, for that real assurance that You've blessed my soul with this week and last night and again this morning. And Father, I thank Thee for the presence of God. Now it's my prayer, my desire, that the wind of God would blow. May Your breath blow today on this congregation of people. May Thy perfect will be done in every soul. Help me, I pray, to say all things this morning that need to be said to glorify God. And may the sweet Spirit of the Holy Ghost drive, Lord, the truth that You've given me into the hearts of Your people, that we may stand in unity, in harmony, in agreement, believing God for great and mighty things that we know not of. May the God of heaven come down this morning in an unusual way to minister in our hearts as only You can. I do pray if there's those here that are lost today, that this may be the day that the veil is rolled back. Lord, the deceit of their heart is made known. They might be saved by the grace of God. Then help Your people to lay hope to this truth, and we'll praise You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. Now, for you ladies that are out here from the Sunday school class, and of course you men know, but I'll kind of brief them somewhat. In the past 2 weeks, we've taken a very limited look at the first 5 verses of Psalm number 18. You men remember that in our outline, I mentioned that in verses 1, 2, and 3, we saw David's experiences with the glory and provisions of God. In those first 2 verses, David gave descriptive names to our Lord, these names relating to different events in the life of David where he had found God to be his help. In other words, he said, the Lord is my strength. And he said, the Lord is my rock, He's my fortress, my deliverer, and so on. And so it was there that David experienced the glories and the provisions of the Lord in his life. I believe that what Brother Steve was referring to this morning is exactly what David referred to in Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. He finally realized in this passage of Scripture that he was nobody and that God was his very strength of his life. that God was his fortress. David had experienced a life living on the rocks in the mountains of Judea, and there he found a fortress from all of his enemies. He found a rock, a hiding place. And that hiding place and that rock and that fortress was the Lord Jesus, and David found and experienced these things in his life. And then I said also in verses 4 and 5, David had an encounter with his enemies. Now you mark it down, you're not going to serve God long until you encounter the enemies of Christ. May I say to you, if they have persecuted him, they will you also. I tell you, we live in a day when God's people feel like that they ought to have a bed of roses and live a life of ease, but it is not going to happen that way. There is a cross that we must bear. And if he that bore the cross of Calvary suffered reproach and persecution and was dishonored by heathen and lost men, you mark it down that you and I, if we pick up our cross and distinguish ourselves as a true born-again child of God, there's going to be persecutions and reproaches that we're going to have to bury for the glory and honor of God. And I'll tell you, if you live for God, you're going to encounter the enemy. The devil is not going to let you slip by in this life and live back in an easy chair without him sticking his ugly face up in your face and reminding you that you're a sinner that ought to be in hell. That's right, ought to be there. And he'll remind you of every sin that you've ever committed in your life. But I want to remind you that where the devil drags those sins out of the closet, that's all he can do, because they're under the blood of the cross and they've been cast as far from us as the east is from the west. And God is the judge of all the earth, and God will never drag those sins out of you again. That's right. Then it brings us to our thought today. In verse number 6, David said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." And from verse 6 down through verse 19, we find the effects of David's prayer. Somebody said, "Are you going to preach on prayer?" Yes! For a little while, I'm going to preach on prayer. I'm here to tell you that it's through the power of prayer that we will accomplish great things for God and to achieve great accomplishments that the world knows nothing about. But by the hand of God, through faith, laying hold upon God, we can do great things, amen, for the glory and honor of God. You better believe it. And in verse 6, David prayed. And in verse 7, we find the effects of David's prayer life and exactly how God responded to David's prayer. Hey, you do believe that God responds to prayer, don't you? If you don't, you're a sorry Christian. He said in Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you." Ask is your responsibility, and given is God's response to your asking. Amen. And so we find there David's request and God's response to that request. Now, let's notice something here. We're not going to be long now. Let's notice something. That there in verse number 6, David found himself in distress. He found himself in some great calamity of life that overwhelmed him. For he definitely said, "In my distress." If I can break that down for you, old David found himself in a tight squeeze. Amen. He found himself between a rock and a hard place.
He was in a place in life that David did not have the ability to help David out of. You know, it's a sad day when we will give way to God to try our own abilities in accomplishing what we realize in our mind that really we cannot accomplish. But I'm telling you, there's a God that can. There is a Lord of glory that if we will cry to Him in our distress, I'll guarantee you He'll respond to that cry and deliver us from all our enemies. In fact, the title of this psalm is that psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, when God had delivered him from all of his enemies, even from Saul. By the way, he did not count Saul as an enemy. Although Saul hindered him, opposed him, oppressed him, did everything he could do to kill David, but yet through David's eyes, Saul was not his enemy. Now I want to say to you that mankind is not our enemy. They can be influenced and used of the devil. But honey, our enemy is the archangel, that's right, is the archenemy of God Almighty, Lucifer, son of the morning, Satan himself, the roaring lion that walks about, seeking whom he may devour. That's right, and so it was a calamity. I'd say that Brother Steve back there, his doubts and fears was a calamity to him. It's not fun to live in fear, afraid you're going to hell, or else not knowing whether you are or whether you're not. That is not fun. Amen. And the Bible said, but the Hebrew, Paul said in Hebrews, that through fear all of our lifetime, feared death. But I'm telling you, that last enemy to be destroyed is death. But honey, there's no need for us to even fear death. You'll find out in verse number 4 that one of the enemies of David was death. One was hell. One was the floods of ungodly men. And one was the snares of death. But David said, out of all of them, God has delivered me. How did he deliver him? When he cried. When he called, when in his distress, he asked God for mercy. God showed up and gave him mercy. Notice this now. Don't nobody leave me this morning. He does not delay in calling upon him who only has the power and ability to help. I am amazed at where people turn to for help these days. Amen. Why, most of us try to seek help from everywhere, but from God that can help us. But look here, David did not procrastinate. We are terrible about procrastinating in our life to call upon God. We want to wait until the situation gets beyond the help of us and anybody else, and we feel like beyond the help of God before we ever really cry out to God. I'm going to say we better quit putting things off. Putting it off. Oh, I know my family's lost, but I'll pray for them tomorrow. Come on now. Oh, I know I've got a sick husband, but I'll pray for him tomorrow. Boy, I know I need a husband, but I'll pray for him tomorrow. Procrastinate. Son, I'm telling you, the very minute David realized that he was compassed about with the snares and sorrows of death and hell, David said, immediately I did not wake, I cried to God. I cried to God immediately. Now look here, don't procrastinate. Don't throw rocks at me now. But don't seek help elsewhere. Some of you in here have went to extremes to try to help yourself. Tried to find the help within your own power. I can do it. Can I tell you what causes you to do that? Little five-letter word called pride. P-R-I-D-E. Boy, I can do it. I really don't need God. I can handle this situation all by myself. After all, why bother God with the trivial things of life? I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, there are no trivial things in your life. God stands ready, willing and able to help you in every situation, no matter how big or how small they may be. There are no big and trivial things with God. He looks at everything on an even scale. That's how He's God. He do that. It doesn't take any more power for Him to solve a big problem than it does a little problem. All He's got to do is do it. Big or small, do it. That's why the Lord said, hey, I can win the battle with few or with many. Doesn't make any difference to me. I'm God. We can get on down in the chapter, and I don't need to get there. I may preach on this verse. He said, I can even cause you to run through a troop and leap over a wall. He can make a D9 bull buster out of you. So that baby calls that bulldozer a bull buster. What is that on the hill up there, boo-boo? Take your hand off her. What is that on the hill up there? Bull buster. Amen. God can make you run through a troop at the bull buster. Pardon this old worldly thought, but He can put Air Jordans on your feet and cause you to leap over walls. That's God, church. That's God. In my distress, I call, where is your distress this morning? What are you waiting on? Why don't you call? Don't look elsewhere. Don't look at yourself. Don't look for help from a friend. Amnon did, and it caused him big trouble. And I'm going to say this. Don't look. These are helpful hints now. I'm just giving you, and we're going into the message in a minute. Hey, don't look for help from some other preacher. Will y'all hear me now? And I'm not trying to sound facetious. But every time you get gas on your stomach, some of you, you will call up some preacher to try to get the answer to the problem that you're having. Every time you need birth, you will call another preacher. And you'll listen to that preacher. And what you're doing, he's got wisdom. Yes! I realize that in a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. But why call upon those that have wisdom when you have the power and the ability to call upon wisdom? He is wisdom. That's right. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of brother so-and-so. Well now, if you're a woman, ask brother so-and-so's wife. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what David done. David said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Y'all's about to get there now. You're about to get there. Not some other preacher. Listen to this. Somebody said, what about prayer? Prayer is the holiest exercise of the believer. Prayer is our solace in trouble. Prayer is our support in weakness. Prayer is the solver of doubts and perplexities. Prayer is our safety in peril. It's our unfailing perseverance against our adversary. It's our balance in prosperity. It's our weapon in every conflict. It's the key that opens the door to the heavenly treasure that God has in His treasure house. Y'all getting anything? I hope so. Genuine prayer involves thought. Think a little bit. Don't start bumping your gums in prayer before you think. In other words, don't put your mouth in motion before you put your brain in gear. Meditate. Meditate. Think about a situation. If you've got a distressful situation, meditate. On your bed at night, sort the thing out in your own heart, in your own mind, and then in wisdom ask God to help you with it. That's right. It's diligent inquiry. Lord, please help me.
Thank you, Lord.
Diligent. It's sweat. It's blood, sweat, and tears. That's right. Praying is blood, sweat, and tears. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Go to the garden and you will believe it. Look to Gethsemane. You'll find the model of prayer that will move the heart of God and deliver you from your distresses, that the kind that David was in. That's right. This mealy-mouthed junk that we go through and play in religious exercises is ridiculous today. It's passionate entreaty. It's unwearied perseverance. Well, preacher, I prayed about this once. You poor, benighted little devil, you. I prayed twice. That little old widow woman went once and again and again and again until that judge said, I've had it. You can have what you want. I'm going to tell you something else. That little Syrophoenician woman, she spoke to Jesus and he didn't even answer. She spoke again. And the disciples turned and said, would you please tell this woman to shut up? She spoke again. Jesus said, it's not meet for me to give the bread that belonged to the sheep of Israel, I'm just paraphrasing it, to a Gentile, to a dog, to an old dog. I mean, you're just a dog. She said, yay, Lord! But even the dogs eat from the crumb that swept from the master's table. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus done right then. He reached over to the table and swept off an ice crumb. Somebody said, I ain't going to get down on the floor and lick crumbs. Then you'll never have from God what God wants you to have if you don't humble yourself and get down on the floor where you belong and be a rug rat, a crumb catcher, and get a crumb from God. That's right, boy. Hallelujah. Unwearied perseverance. The highest blessing of Christian life. It's the brightest, gives the brightest visions of God you'll ever have. It's the deepest insight into truth. And it's the most enraving ecstasies of a man's soul to pray. Yes. Now look here, David said, in my distress. That was David's prayer. Somebody said, what did that prayer do? I'm glad you asked. I just got 2 points with a few little things under. Honest before God, that's all. But it's all right here in the Bible. And part of it blends right, not necessarily just prayer now. Somebody says you're going to preach on prayer again tonight. Part of it, but not all of it. But it all just blends right in to what I'm trying to get across this morning. What? Hey, and by the way, I got to give this. I just about left this out. When you call, hey, don't procrastinate. Don't seek help elsewhere. And don't despair. And this is the confidence that we have of Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we make to Him. Honey, I'm saying anything you ask in God's will, He hears. And if He hears, you got it. Don't despair. Don't despair. Now look here. This David's prayer here done 2 things, and I'll be done in maybe an hour and a half. David's prayer. Now listen now, or you're going to miss it. Get the message, because this goes along with tonight. It laid hold on the promises of God. I'm talking about it reached out by faith and laid hold on the promises of God. Just like some of you reached out this morning and laid hold on your drawers laying by the side of the bed. Your breeches. Your belt. Your steering wheel of your automobile. Your coffee cup. It was there, but you'd have never got that cup of coffee drank. You hadn't have put your hand on the mug. The promises, church, are there. But they'll never be yours unless you lay your hand by faith and take hold of the promises of God. I don't know about you. And this ain't all of them. I thought of some more this morning, but Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 115, 14. Jeremiah 33, 10, 11. Isaiah 48, 10. Exodus 33, 12 through 14. Isaiah 10, 24 through 27. Isaiah 54, 15, 17, 13, 7, and 8. Colossians 2, 6. Psalm 84, 11. Psalm 43, 3. Proverbs 22, 19 through 21. Isaiah 58, 8 through 12. Isaiah 4, 2, 8, 9. Matthew 7, 7. And John 16, 23 through 25. Somebody said, oh, that isn't Bible verses. Oh, but what that is times that I know, 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 that I know that God the Holy Ghost dead with my heart about a verse of Scripture. And then what I'm preaching on tonight. Can you come up here a minute? I don't want to give this away. I don't want you to read a thing. I don't want you to read a thing now. Robert, I want you to read a thing. Except what I tell you, what is written in blue ink. You hear me? I want you to read what that says right there. Read that loud. Get right up where they can hear you.
Lord, give me faith to believe.
Now, what's the date on it?
9/19/95.
That's where we're going tonight! Now, I ain't been reading there either, but that's where we're going tonight! Whoa! God is hovering above. He'll break through any moment now. I talked to Ellie Smith yesterday. He said, preacher, we didn't get out of here Friday night until 1 o'clock Saturday morning. We may not get out before 6 o'clock Monday morning. Lays hold on the promises of God. Listen to me, church. He's never guilty of breaking a promise. You tell me one he's ever broken. Tell me one. I triple dare you to find one promise God's ever broken. He's not a man that he should repent. He does not break promises. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. In other words, some men say, well, He promised it back here, but it ain't got done yet. Oh, He's not slack! He is not slack. Wait therefore, how long soever He tarries. Listen to me. No matter how long He tarries, don't give up expecting. I don't care how long it is. That missionary in China waited 8 long years for God to move, and in one service he baptized over 2,000 people and hadn't had a convert for 7 years. Don't give up expecting. Oh, somebody said, well, Brother Hall, you know, there's no need of just hanging on to this thing forever. Give ear to my words, David said. O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto Thee will I pray. Get this now, I'm in Psalm 5. My voice shalt Thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto Thee. Listen to these last 4 words. And will look up. What are you doing, David? I directed my prayer to Him. Well, why are you looking up for? You fool, I'm waiting for him to send it back down.
Samson come up to me out in the living room this morning. He said, Papa, who getting the Bronco and take me to Kansas? I said, boy, I can't take you to Kansas. I ain't got no money. He said, me got some. I said, you got any dollar bills? He said, Benny has. I'll give you. He said, I know where some money's at. I said, Papa, don't have no money. Boy, run off in there on my dresser and pick up Hamilton Tanks. I got money. Will you take me to Kansas? You know what that boy said? You know what he wants? He wants mommy and daddy. Look here, and he come to the verse. I said, what? How come you come to Papa? He said, snow in Kansas. And the walk, it got four-wheel drive. We'll pull that little thing down. You go through snow. Hear what I'm saying? Y'all hear what I'm saying? David said, I'll look up. Why? Because he's the right one that can answer my dilemma. I don't only look up. I'm asking and I'm expecting to get something in return for my God. Now don't leave me. Don't leave me. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I think it's Psalm 62. Verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Not the banker. Not the loan company. Him. Not the preacher. Him. Not a friend. Him. Amen. David said, you promised. Now deliver. Now let's don't leave me now. Hey, listen to what this man said. The heart of God is not turned, though His face be hid. And our prayers are not flung back, though they be not instantly answered. Just because God doesn't answer your prayer overnight, don't think God's going to cast them back into your teeth. Our tears are laid up in a bottle, and our prayers are treasured in the very heart of God. And because God doesn't answer them in your time, don't think He's forgotten about you. Don't leave now. Promises, though they be for a time seemingly delayed, cannot be finally frustrated. The devil cannot frustrate your promises. Oh, they might not come when you want them to come. Listen here. That which does not come in your time will be hastened in his time, which is always the more convenient season. Now, I want everybody to listen to what I'm saying. God will answer your prayers at an appointed season that will bring more glory to God than it will now. And I'm satisfied the longer the delay, many times, the more glory He gets. And the longer the delay, the more glory and the greater our faith will become in asking God the next time for something. Makes us hungry. Makes us get just a tad bit of hungry for God. He'll answer it in a convenient season. Amen. That's right. The second point, I'm just about done. I'm just about done. And this is the point that I'm going to tap on. Both of these will tie into tonight. Prayer lays hold of the promises of God. Now, I'm getting ready to get into the psalm. I'm going to say a few things, a few scriptures in the psalm. But it also brings down the presence. Church, God's coming. I'm telling you on the authority of this Bible that I'm holding in my hand, the King James 1611, that God's coming to this church. And if He don't, I'm going to have to make myself a liar and pack up my grip and get out of town. But I've got confidence in the promises of God and His speaking to my heart that God is hovering above. And in His convenient season, He'll rend the heavens. Now I want to show you something. Last week, for you ladies' sake, I want you to hear me now. And this is, I'm just talking. I'm preaching, but I'm just talking right now. So hear me. I told these men that these following verses were verses
and promises that were between the Son of God and the Father as the Son lay in the tomb. And they're sacred ground. And we better, and the Holy Ghost told me that you don't preach on them as the covenant between the Father and the Son, that sacred ground, stay away from it. And I'd be a fool to try to tell you what went on in the 3 days Jesus was in the tomb in relation to him and the Father. It's holy. It's sacred ground. These verses we're getting ready to look at are probably some of the holy verses, most sacred verses in all the Bible, because it took place when the Son of God was laying in the grave, and it was Him that cried in distress unto the Father, and the Father heard. And now, but I'll mark her down. It also happened in David's life. All right, here, old maid, come this morning. Somebody said, Brother Hall, see, it brings down the presence of God. Look in verse number 9. He said He bowed the heavens also. What's those next three words say, church? Came down! Well, though He came down to that tomb and delivered the Son from the tomb, I want you to know that David said, when I cried in my distress, God bowed the heavens and came down to where I was. He's coming! He's a coming! And it'll be a blessing for some of you and a curse for others when He gets here. And I'll prove that to you in the Scripture tonight. Good brain. He bowed the heavens and He came down. Notice what He done when He came down. Look at verse number 13. The Lord also thundered in the heavens and the highest gave voice. When He comes, church, He's got something to say. He's got something to say. Can somebody in here, does somebody in here out of the promises that I read in the book just a minute ago, any of you old timers that's here, remember the very first promise God gave me, that might be my family, or the very first promise God gave me here of revival death when I came here as a pastor? Where at, Brother Jerry? 33, 10, 11. There shall yet be the voice of the bridegroom. I'm telling you, I've been saying for 10 years that God's still got something to say to this church. God has verified that, confirmed that in my soul this morning. When God came down at the cry of David, He came down with a voice. God had something to say. I'm telling you that God still has a word to speak to this world that we're living in, buddy. God's not done with this world yet. And He's not done with His church yet. You think He's going to let us live in the dilemma we're in and just float on up someday, whooped and defeated, and some of you sitting, bless God, looks like your mother-in-law moved in on you and ain't never leaving, act like you haven't got a thing to live for? You're saved. He's going to cure some of your problems. That's revival, by the way. He'll cure the dilemma you're living in right now. You're saved. One way or the other. He may not cure it the way you want it cured, but He'll cure it. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but we're preaching today and God's right here. God's right here. Look here, He speaks. And the highest gave His voice. Look here how He spoke. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. Thundered. You mean when He was speaking, He thundered. What on earth is David saying here? He thundered. He thundered. I'm saying the only thing I could come up with is right back to Mount Sinai. When God gave the law to Moses. Read about it. Thundering. Lightnings, earthquake, He told the people of Israel, told Moses, said, you tell them, don't even let a beast come to the foot of the mountain, lest they be run through with a dart. What's going on here is sacred stuff, He said. Now I'm telling you, when God comes down, hey, to visit His people, it is sacred and holy, confined only to the people of God. But now He didn't stop there. By the way, when he thundered there, when he thundered in the book of Exodus, it was on Mount Sinai. You know what Sinai means? It means a pointed place. God, the law is a very pointed thing. There's no room, no gray area to drift this way and that way. In other words, have you ever heard somebody? Have you ever heard somebody call you in? Have you ever been called in on the carpet and somebody say this to you? Now, I've got a very pointed question that I want to ask you. I've got a very pointed statement that I want to make. That's the law, folks. Very pointed to the place, to the point, and not, God ain't going to deviate from it. Not one iota is God going to deviate from His law. No, sir. Now, I'm telling you, hey, what David's saying here, when God come down, He was very pointed in what He had to say. Amen. He was very precise about the business at hand. David said, He come down to deliver me, and He did not tarry. He came down, was very pointed about it. He thundered, and He delivered just like God said He would. Now, hear this now. He ain't done, though. He ain't done. He ain't done. He ain't done. He said, the Lord thundered in the heavens. The highest gave His voice. Hailstones. Wonder where in the Bible. Seems to me like down in the land of Egypt. Thunder. Lightning. Hailstones. Do you believe? Look here. In the book of Revelation, and I forget the size, somebody may know if there's going to be hailstones fall from heaven. 114 pounds in weight. You hear what Brother Hall's telling you? Say, as hailstones come down here with David, I believe they literally fell. Somebody said, what's that mean? Hey, the thunder. The thunder was God's law. He had God speaking. God had something to say. But the hailstones falling just like they fell in Egypt, you know what it is? It's judgment time. It is judgment time. Oh, it's, hey, those hailstones in Revelation, they're judgment time. But if God's ready to judge things, hear me well. And if judgment must begin at the house of God, where does the sinner and the ungodly appear? Hey, I'm telling you, God's coming! And He's coming with a voice, and He's coming with judgment and blessing light! And I'll say more about that tonight, too. Yes, sir. He speaks. Notice what He does in verse number 14. Yea, He sent His arrows. He scattered them. He scattered them? Scattered who? Everybody look right up here. He scattered the enemy in verses 4 and 5. The sorrows of death. The sorrows of hell. The snares of death. And the floods of ungodly men. He shot through them. You know what an arrow does? It divides. But there's more than one arrow. He scattered them. Now just for your information, that word scatter means to disperse. It means to break up. It means to separate or remove to a distance far from each other. Can you get a hold of what David's saying here? David's saying, those four enemies of mine, death and hell and ungodly men and the snares of death, said they were confederate against me and they were unified. But when God came down and drew back His bow, turned loose of His arrow, He said He dispersed them and sent them so far apart that they lost their power of battle. Folks, I know I was going to say, God just giving me this stuff. I'm just telling you. Now, not that particular about dispersing, but the power of battle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You hear what I'm saying? He'll divide. When the presence of God comes, He'll divide our enemies, buddy. They'll lose their unity. They'll lose their harmony. They'll lose their power over us. Yes, sir. And then he said, and discomfited them. You know what that means? That means to agitate, to put in an uproar or make a commotion. Just like He did the Egyptians' chariot wheels when they were chasing Moses. He caused their chariot wheels to roll off. And there was such a He discomfited them. They were in an uproar. In other words, they just turning here and there. It's just like some of you mommies when you got 7 or 8 youngins pulling on your dress and you don't know which way to turn. That's exactly how death was to David. Where'd he go? I'll find him. just like hell. I'm a looking for him. Where are they at? Well, and you know what it done? I'm telling you, David, I mean, God can so discomfit our enemy church that he'll cause them to fight one another. You look in the Bible. He caused them to fight one another and kill one another. What a God. Scatters them. I'll remind you now that this happens when God's present. And I've done said he's coming.
Yes.
He's coming. Listen now. Look at verses 16, 17, and 18. He sent from above. He took me, drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. They were too strong for me. They prevented me. He conquered them. What is it this morning? What is it that's troubling you as an enemy this morning? Brother Steve back there, he may be the fury, he may be the ensign of God's presence coming. God done conquered him for him. He may be the standard. He may be the first fruit. He may be the first fruit of what the presence of God will accomplish in Ireland, Born Baptist Church, when God rends the heavens and comes down. With darkness under his feet. Are you hearing me? When he come down and the darkness was under his feet, he veiled his glory.
Yes.
You're not going to look upon the glory of God with the naked eye. Oh no, he just veiled his glory and took care of business at hand.
Yes.
Oh, it's my God.
Yes.
Wrapped himself up in a dark cloud. That he wouldn't slay us with the enemy. And covered his glory. And spoke and conquered every foe that David had. And I like this. This is the last one. And I'm done. Look in verse number 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He brought me into a large place. Does anybody remember how I started the message? Yeah, but in verse 6, Brother Jerome. What kind of a place do you think David was in verse 6? Everybody get a... Hey, where did I say he was at? That's what I'm looking for. David, why don't you move? I can't. The sorrows of death on this side of me. Move, David. I'm compassed. The sorrows of death on my right hand. Ungodly men that make me afraid on my left. The sorrows of hell are ever before me. And when I turn around, the snares of death prevent me. But in my distress, I cried unto God. And what did he do, David? I believe the word I'm looking for is he gave me liberty.
Yes.
Set me in a real wide place, girls. What happened to the snares of death? He scattered them.
Yes.
Presence of the Lord gives liberty.
Yes.
You see, in your problems and your heartaches and your sorrow is what's got you bound. Your dilemma, your distress, what you're bound in. But when he comes down, he set me in a large place. Miss Hall said, honey, one thing I'd like to have, we build a new house.
I just like to have a large living room and a bedroom, and the rest of it I won't worry about. I said, I believe I can set you in a large place. Brother Robert, he's coming. God's hovering above.
Yeah.
And the key to what I've been preaching this morning is, if in our distress, we'll cry unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And lay hold of the promises of God, it'll bring the presence of God. And oh, have I got a thought for the night. I'm almost ready just to swoop on over into it, give you a double hitter and go to the house. What about your promises? God can kick those. God can kick those distresses, those doubts, those fears. He can scatter them and set you in a wide place and give you liberty like they've never had in your life before. That although the troubles may still be out there stalking you, it's like my cousin said years ago. Somebody said, Vernon, aren't you worried about going in the Navy? The war is on. Vernon said, Truman, told my dad, it's Truman. Said, why should I worry? Said, there ain't nobody worried about me. Why should you worry? Give it to God. And when His presence comes, He'll set you in a wide place. Let's stand together. I've said it.